In preparation for our message, I will be reading from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and our Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I know as a young boy growing up, I always wanted to imitate those sports people that I liked. And I remember the first time that I played on the church softball team. The little church that I went to had a softball team. And my first year allowed to play on the team, I was 7. That tells you how little the church was. The next youngest player on the team, he was the right fielder. He was 8, so he got to play right field. I had to play short field because they figured they could cover everything else. I got on base once. But I remember the 8-year-old. He called himself Tony Oliva Tupper. Most of you probably don't know who Tony Oliva is. He played for one of the best teams that ever was, along with Harmon Killebrew. Don't know him either, do you? Minnesota Twins. But isn't that what we do when we're young? We want to be like somebody. I remember growing up, I played ice hockey. And I wore number 4. And I wanted to be just like my favorite player. I did everything that he did, never quite achieved the success of Bobby Orr, but I wanted to be like him. I played like he had tried to play like him, and that's kind of what life is like. We pick out somebody who we consider to be important in our lives, and we try to imitate them. They say imitation is one of the greatest forms of flattery. But as Christians, who is it that we imitate? Now, I remember that first church because it was very, very important to me. Not only was I allowed to play on the softball team at 7 because they needed 11 players, but they put a new roof on the church. And guess who got to help as a 7-year-old? So I learned very young, it's not how old you are. It's not how much you know. It's your desire to work for God. And if you desire to work for God, we'll find something for you to do. I look back now. Since then, I can't get past the 3rd or 4th step on a ladder without shaking. Then at 7 and 8, I was walking all over the roof helping out. And they allowed me to do that. And it made a huge impression on me as a young person. Because what they made me feel was that I was important. That I mattered not only to them, but to God. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about when he writes this letter to the church at Thessalonica, reminding them that they are to be imitators of him. And Paul's not saying that because he's arrogant. Paul's saying that because he strives in his life to live a life that is as much like Christ as he can. As much a life of righteousness, as much a life of faith as he is able to. And Paul says, you also need to strive for the same things. Now, we as church people need to figure out who it is that we should be imitating. Now, I didn't get to do the children's message today. I had it all figured out to go with the sermon, and I couldn't do it. So Scott so graciously messed up his children's message. And I thank you for that, Scott. It's perfect. It is sinking a little bit. And it'll keep going down, as Ken said. The point is, in our lives, where are we getting what it is we believe? Are we getting it off the internet where there's all kinds of strange things? Ruthie sent me a text or a message this week about a science experiment that was on YouTube. And I looked at it and thought, that's not a science experiment. That's somebody trying to cheat. And you see that a lot. And so it gave me the idea for the children's message. You know, we have this idea that just because somebody says something, that if they're in a position that maybe gives them some authority, that we should allow them to say that and we should believe it. This person who does an experiment claims to be a scientist or somebody who likes science, and they do something, but what they're doing isn't right, isn't correct. So when we as Christians hear something about God says this or God says that or the Bible says this or the Bible says that, we need to make sure that we check it out. So that what we're imitating is something that's correct. So that what we're following is truly God's word. You'll find all kinds of stuff out there. I remember that I had a seminary professor who once they gave us an assignment. It was to write a paper. It was a minimum of 20 pages. And we had to use different theological sources. And what they said was, beware. You can come up with any crazy idea, and you will find somebody out there who's written something to support it. That doesn't mean it's right. So you're not going to be graded on whether you find support for what you write. You're going to be graded on whether what you write is correct or not. And that is the important thing for us as Christians. Is what we believe consistent with God's word? If it's not, then we should not be following it. If we as Christians follow something other than the word of God, then we're not following God. We're not doing what God has called us to do. Paul tells us we are to be imitators of him. Imitators of those who strive to be like Jesus Christ. All of my ideas on missions came from that little tiny church that I went to as a young boy. Because They not only believed in missions, they did missions. They didn't only believe that everybody had a place in the church, they acted it out and allowed everybody to participate. We as Christians need to live out our faith, especially those of us who are more mature in our Christian faith. And maturity doesn't come with age necessarily. Maturity comes with growing up in our faith and following God for a period of time. I can tell you those people in my life who I've strived to imitate, especially in the church. Pastors who I have learned so much from. Pastors who I try to imitate how they did ministry. One of them is, he's gone now, but he was a huge mentor to me, and he never even knew it. I went into the military, and till I came home again, he had moved on to another church. And he was a man who just was so humble. The little church that I went to at that time wasn't big enough to have a full-time pastor, so he drove school buses part-time. And every morning, he would get on the radio on the school bus and have a prayer for all of the school bus drivers before they left. See, in Minnesota, all the school buses are owned by the school district. So they all are in one gigantic garage. And he would have a prayer for them. He was a humble man. The other thing I remember about him is he was a man of Scripture. If the Scripture said you should do something a certain way, that's what he did. I remember we'd have prayer meeting in the evening on Sunday night, and it was a church that was a charismatic church, so they had speaking in tongues. And he'd say, does anybody have a message from the Lord? And somebody might speak up, and then there'd be an interpretation, and somebody else might speak up, and there'd be an interpretation, and he said, okay, that's it for tonight. The Bible says two. A couple of people speak. It's not about everybody getting up and speaking in tongues all at the same time. He wouldn't allow that, because the Bible says that worship is a time for order and worship, and that it's not a time where we have all kinds of speaking in tongues. And as I grew in my faith and came to learn more and went on to seminary, I began to realize what a man he was and how he lived by his faith and by the Scriptures and how humble he was. So I've strived in my ministry to be like him, to strive to be humble. And as I say often, humility is one of my greatest qualities. You can laugh a little more. There you go. It's bad when a joke falls flat. But the other thing that Paul tells the church in Thessalonica is, you're humble, but you're doing the work of God, and everybody knows about it. In this day and age, that's what's important. What's important is that people see what you're doing. There are all kinds of churches out there that have commercials and are advertising on billboards, and they're doing all kinds of things to get everybody to know who they are. What's more important is when people know who you are because you're doing the work of God. That's what's important. And I want to say today that that's what you're doing. That's what this church does. You don't go out and brag about all of the missions and ministries that you do. You just do them. And people know about it. Do you realize that there are people out there who want to imitate you? That's what the church is called to be. when we get to the point in our faith where others look at us and say, I want to be like them, then we're doing what God has called us to do. So the first step for us is to pick somebody in our faith life who we can look up to and say, I want to be like them. I want to be a Christian like they're a Christian. And then to live our life in such a way that others see us and say, I want to be like them. I want to be a Christian in the way that they're a Christian. That's how we change our world. It's not through advertising. It's not through billboards. It's not having all of the right programs, singing all of the right songs. It's being the people of God so that the world can see. That's what we're called to be. Ministry in the church starts with you. I don't know all the people that you know. And it's not my job to tell them about Jesus Christ. It's my job to tell you about Jesus Christ so you can go and tell them. Even better, that you can show them Jesus Christ. We are called to be imitators. We're called to follow those who are giants of the faith so that we too will touch lives. May God work in you in such a way that others may see God in you, that they may see his love, his grace, that they may see him. Amen.